the stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Seeker cards in the Lair of Dagon, the fifth Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy cycle. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get a Tentacle, and the cards in between get a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. The first Seeker card in the pack is Hyper Awareness Level 4. It is a 2-cost asset that, of course, costs 4 experience points. It has 2 intellect and 2 agility skill icons. The talent trait, it enters play with 2 resources. Replenish these resources at the start of each round. As a free triggered ability, spend 1 resource from your resource pool or from Hyper Awareness. You get +1 intellect or +1 agility from this skill test. So there are quite a few Seekers and off-class Seeker investigators that play the level 0 version of Hyper Awareness, and certainly replenishing 2 resources per round is a nice perk. Unfortunately, I think for some of the off-class Seekers, the 4 experience point cost puts this out of contention for them. I guess my only issue with this card is that doesn't really, besides the 2 resources, it doesn't really do a whole lot more than what you get for the level 0 or I believe the level 2 versions of this card. I mean, you get a lot more skill icons, and that's nice. And depending on when Hyper Awareness hits the table, you can probably you're going to get some resources there, you know, be able to leverage those resources. But what do you think about this one?
I think it's okay. This feels more like a luxury upgrade, kind of what you were saying, Man from Lang. Like, it is nice that you can continue to pump resources into it and get an additional skill boost, but I feel like most investigators that are going to take the level 2 version are going to be satisfied with that and probably not really need an additional upgrade for it. So I think while it's nice, it's just not very exciting.
Yeah, the Hyper Awareness and the all of the talents that were released in the core set have been around for almost 5 years at this point. And I think at the beginning, when investigators didn't have a lot of options in terms of deck building, people played with the talents a lot more. But I find of late that I'm not really using the talents as much as I used to. And they really seem to be, they make it into certain investigators and not others. They're not nearly as ubiquitous as they used to be. And I think if you were playing Hyper Awareness in the past and you are really using it a lot, then I don't think you're certainly not going to be unhappy by upgrading it. But I think, like you said, this is really a luxury upgrade that if you happen to have the experience points, sure, but this is not the first card I'm upgrading in my deck, and spending 4 to 8 experience points upgrading to this is going to be, that's going to be a pretty tough sell, I think, most of the time, especially considering the strength of the Seeker upgrades that are available. Like, the Seeker, there are so many just bonkers, off-the-wall, powerful Seeker cards that this really struggles to justify the experience points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. So what would you rate this card, Man from Lang?
I'd give this one a 0. I mean, it's fine. It does what it's supposed to do. I mean, I have issues with the cost and stuff like that. But as far as cards go, it's, you know, it's okay. It's, if you were playing it before, you'll be happy with this. If not, what about you?
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. It's just, it's decent, and I'm sure if you had it in your deck and you played it, you wouldn't be disappointed when you played it, but it's just not very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly not compared to some of the other upgrades and purchases that you can make in the Seeker card pool these days. The second Seeker card in the pack is Stygian Eye. It is a 10 cost event that costs 3 experience points. It has 3 willpower skill icons, the Insight and Cursed traits, fast, play only during your turn. You can reduce the cost to play Stygian Eye by 1 for each curse token in the Chaos Bag. Until the end of the round, you get +3 to each of your skills. I think adding 3 to each of your skills for an entire round is undeniably powerful. And the 3 wild skill icon, or the 3 willpower skill icons, sorry, are very having started to play more on hard difficulty. Those masses of skill icons really come in handy once you bump up the difficulty. The insight trait is nice. It synergizes with cards like Joe Diamond, who can sort of get this a little bit cheaper. But I think the biggest issue with this card is that the value is just so conditional on how many curse tokens you've got in the bag.
Yeah, and we haven't really seen Seekers get a lot of good ways of adding curse tokens to the bag, other than trying to use Grimoire or dipping into an off class. So this card is kind of hard to evaluate. But I mean, that being said, the effect is very good, especially if you can combine it with action compression with cards like Ursula or, like Pathfinder and stuff like that. You can save actions and make the most out of it. It could be pretty game changing, but I think a lot of the time you're gonna just be committing this card, like you said, which isn't bad either. It's just I think you have to go into this card with that sort of expectation.
Yeah, I recently had a chance to play an Amanda deck that was a cursed Amanda deck, and I was able to add quite a few curse tokens to the bag right away. And for much of the game, I had, I think, 9 or 10 curse tokens in the bag, especially if you're playing with Blasphemous Covenant. So when you draw them, you can toss them back in. But for part of the game, I also had like 4. So, I'm not too sure what amount I would be willing to pay for this, but I mean, I was thinking about the Survivor card Trial by Fire, which is that one skill you get a 5 in for your turn, and I think it costs 3, so I might be willing to pay 3 for this, but that means you still have, unless you're playing Joe Diamond or some other way to reduce the cost that I'm unaware of, that's still 7 curse tokens. And I just find it, I think this actually might be better in a multiplayer setting if you have several curse decks sitting at the table where they can constantly feed the bag and keep it topped up. Then a card like this, I think, is probably fantastic because you've got that extra support from the other curse deck that can fuel the bag. But I think at least my experience in playing solo is that the curse and bless are, I don't think they're quite as reliable as they might be in multiplayer where you've got multiple decks feeding the bag. I often find that I either draw the curse and bless cards that add tokens to the bag, or and then I don't draw the cards that actually leverage the tokens, or I draw the cards that leverage the tokens, but not the cards that add the tokens to the bag. It's just those that conditionality of it all just sort of you can really end up sort of stuck and not being able to really trigger it consistently.
Yeah, it reminds me of the classic problem in Magic the Gathering with ramp decks, where you draw all of the things you want to ramp into, but you don't draw any of the spells that help you get additional mana, or vice versa, where you draw all the things that get you additional mana, but you don't draw the threats that you need to close the game out. And while Stygian Eye is certainly, I think, that threat that closes the game out, like you said, it can be very difficult to get it to trigger reliably.
So how would you rate this one?
This is tough. You know, the effect is really good, and I would want to give the effect alone a plus one, but I think I have to knock it down to a zero just because, like you said, it's gonna be very unreliable that you play this for a reasonable cost.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be willing to give this a plus one in a multiplayer setting if you've got another curse deck at the table. I think if you're in that situation, I don't think you can go wrong with this. If you're playing a curse deck, you're gonna have a much more reliable way to trigger it. But yeah, in solo, I just can't give it more than a zero, I think. It just Having played that Amanda curse deck and sort of seeing the ebb and flow of the curse tokens in the bag, it's very hard to predict when you're going to have the tokens and when you're but and then when you're going to need that boost. And if you flood the bag early, the chance is that even if you have Blasphemous Covenant, you're slowly going to lose those tokens, and then end up sort of end game, you just won't have the tokens to play this when you might need it, or you're gonna draw this and then you're gonna have to sit on it for several turns while you slowly fill up the bag, and then perhaps you've missed the opportunity when you need it, or you find out you don't need it at all. So it's really, I'm glad it has those three willpower skill icons, because at least you can commit it for a decent amount to a test.
And I feel like, unfortunately, you're going to be stuck with it in your hand a lot of the time, and then you're going to draw Rotting Remains or something, and you're going to need to commit it, and that's just, I think, part of the game, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe if it was a little cheaper, like if it was, maybe
Eight.
two experience points, and like I know that, Joe Diamond can bring this down to an eight, but you can't really stick this in your hunch deck either, because then you're just adding another element of uncertainty to when, am I going to pull this at the right time when I have the right amount of tokens? I mean, it's just really awkward that way.
Yeah, and with putting it in your hunch deck, you lose the advantage of having the three wilds or the three willpower skill icons, so it's
Yeah.
kind of defeats the purpose, so.
That's going to do it for our look at the Seeker cards in the Lair of Dagon. We have Seekers don't walk away with the pack, unlike what they usually do, it seems these days. Hyper awareness, it's nice, but not very exciting. Gives you a little extra boost with the two replenishing resources, which is great if you're using this card a lot. And Stygian Eye, an asset for the curse deck, but one that I think you probably want to look at more in multiplayer than in a solo setting. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.